Romans 14, and we'll begin reading there in verse 1. Today will be the third message and on the subject of judgment, and we may do some more messages on this, I'm not sure, but today we're going to do one that really is what I started out to do about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's just taken a while to get there. But I want to talk to you about the judgment at a period of Christ or the rapture. The judgment of us as individuals and the judgment of the church. In Romans chapter 14, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we therefore whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now, the main verses there that we generally look at when we talk about judgment are verses 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what I want to talk about today. But in leading up to that, the first week, we looked at what Paul had to say about judging one another. And we saw there that Paul discusses there the purpose, or rather the proper attitude that we should have toward each other in areas that are debatable as far as behavior is concerned, in areas of conduct, things which are not clearly stated as right or wrong in the Bible. And he says in there that we're not to judge one another. Why? Because verse 1 through 3 he says that God has received the weaker and the stronger. In verses 4 through 6, he says basically that we can differ in good conscience. And verse 7 through 12, we shouldn't judge one another because we know that all are going to be judged by the Lord. And then last week, we talked about judgment as it relates to the believer in relation to self-judgment. That is, we're to judge ourselves, we're to judge doctrine, and that judgment is to be by the Word of God. We are to, you see, on the one hand, when we talked about not judging one another, people might get the idea that everything is acceptable and everything's okay. But that's not the point. The point is that we're not to judge one another in areas like the ones mentioned in Romans 14. There are things that we are to judge. We're to judge between right and wrong. We're to judge between truth and error. And that judgment is to start with self, and then the doctrine that's preached, but all that judgment is by the Word. Now today, we want to talk, as I said, about the judgment of the believers and what's called in the Bible the judgment seat of Christ. Here in Romans chapter 14, Paul says there in verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." That is the judgment. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the word there is given account. In other words, there's going to be an accounting that's going to take place. Now, I'll remind you again that this judgment has nothing to do with your sin. Your sins were judged at Calvary. Jesus Christ died for our sins, the Bible says. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So your sin is not the issue. Your sins are forgiven. And whether you go to heaven or hell is not dependent upon what you do in your flesh. Whether you go to heaven or hell depends upon what you're trusting in for salvation. You're either trusting in something that you did, or you're trusting totally and completely in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary when he died for your sins. So that's the judgment. The judgment of sin is not the issue. What we're judged at the judgment seat of Christ is our work. That which we do for Christ's sake. Paul said we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 1. Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be in that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. We've been sealed with the Spirit according to Ephesians 1:14. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, he's already talked about us being sealed and us being saved. And so when he says we labor that we might be accepted of him, obviously he's talking about our works being accepted of him, that which we do for Christ's sake. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 that we're accepted in the Beloved. We have redemption through his blood. So the acceptance of us as individuals into the body of Christ, that's complete, that's taken care of. But there's an acceptance that's based on our labor. Notice verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now the things done in the body, again, is not the sins, but it's the works. How do we know that? Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now I want you to understand, the sins that you commit in your flesh can bring about bad works. And the works will be tried of what sort they are. But your sins are forgiven. That doesn't mean that you will not suffer consequence of committing sin here on earth. But that is a natural consequence of sin. Paul said we shall reap what we sow. If a person sins, then they will reap the natural consequence of that sin in their life. But that's not God's judgment. That's not God's punishment. God is dealing with us on the basis of his mercy and his grace. So if somebody goes out and gets drunk and drives down a highway and runs into a car or a tree there and kills himself, they can't say God killed them. If somebody overeats or anything else, and as a natural consequence, they die of some problem, can't say God killed them. It's a natural consequence of reaping what we sow. Now notice, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9, we read about the labor over there in 2 Corinthians 5. Here we read about in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, there are several things that we need to understand about this judgment. Number one, Jesus Christ is the righteous judge. He is the judge that is going to perform. In other words, it's called there in 2 Corinthians 5, the judgment seat of Christ. He said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I believe this takes place at the rapture, at the catching up. And every individual is going to give an account of himself, and it is to the Lord. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. The Lord. Look in Romans chapter 2. Go first over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The quick, those that are made alive, that are resurrected at his appearing. The others at his kingdom, the great white throne judgment. He says there, though, that I charge thee therefore before who? Before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Look down in verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now you know, the one thing that we can count on, folks, above everything else, is that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be standing before not a human judge, not a judge that is influenced by outside forces and so forth. We're going to be standing before a righteous judge that is going to judge in righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge. Don't be mistaken. There is a judgment for believers. Look back in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2. In Romans 2, verse 16. Paul is talking here about the judgment. He says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So he is, our judge is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the very one that bought us and purchased us. And think about this. The Bible said, you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? Which are His. We belong to the Lord. And therefore the Lord is going to evaluate all that we do in our flesh at the judgment seat of Christ. Now go back there, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. And notice this judgment. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Well, look down in verse 5. Paul says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, what Paul is addressing there is the fame and the acclaim, you might say, that is received from men, by men. But what he is showing us is that the man is not what's important in the overall picture of the labor. In other words, it's not the individual, it's that which the individual does that's important. It's not the person of the individual, it's the performance of the individual. Paul says here, he said, who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He said, listen, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. You see, the ministry there is very clear. It's laid out. And Paul says, really, it's just two things involved. In what he's talking about here, he says it's just planting and watering. Planting and watering. I want you to go back in your Bible to Luke chapter 8 because there's a picture back there that we can certainly make an application of in relation to the planting and the watering. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given unto know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to other in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear, they might not understand. Now notice, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. That's what I want you to say. You see, in the parable here, there are those that sow the seed, and then he identifies what the seed is. Paul said, one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. Paul talks about ministers of the gospel. And back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says that one has planted, another watered, but God gave the increase. Notice there again in Luke chapter 8, in verse 11. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which is an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit and patience. Now, you see, there's something very interesting about that. The sower had no effect over what happened to the seed once it was sown. In that particular instance, some fell upon good ground, some fell upon thorns, some fell upon bad. But that was not the sower's responsibility. So it is when Paul, when he talks about that over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now notice 1 Corinthians 3:7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You see, when we are laboring for the Lord, when we are doing the work of the ministry, the real issue is, are we doing it for Christ's sake? Are we doing His work or are we doing our work? There's a lot of people that simply are doing the work for the denominational system they're part of or the religious system. It's very easy to get involved in that kind of thing. I know because I was. I've heard other people testify to that. Sometimes people do work for the preacher's sake. They want to impress the preacher or please the preacher. Some people do it for self-glorification, for their own sake. But you see, I believe when the Bible talks about our work being tried of what sort it is, it rests primarily on what is our motive in that which we are doing. Why are we doing it? Are we doing it because we have an appreciation for all that Christ has done for us? Are we doing it because the love of Christ constraineth us? You see, back there under the Old Testament, under that law program, the performance was based on instantaneous reward, instantaneous blessing. It was, if you will do thus and so, then I'll do this to you. If you'll do this, then I'll do this. That was the Lord's working with them. The law was a performance system. But that's not the way it is today. The Bible says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings. You see, God, there's something that so many times people lose sight of when we talk about the blessings of Israel versus the blessings for the church, the body of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 3, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven places in Christ Jesus. You know the good thing about being blessed with all spiritual blessings? Is that they're all equal for all people. Every saved individual has been blessed with all spiritual blessings. If you're saved and part of the body of Christ, you have every spiritual blessing. Now, back in the Old Testament, the physical blessings were dependent upon the response of the people to the law and to the commandments of God. And so when God said, if you'll do this, then I'll give you this. I'll give you a harvest, and I'll give you plentiful food, and I'll rid you of these diseases, they could literally and physically see the blessings of God upon them. I hear people a lot of times say, well, you know, God's really blessed. I heard a man on radio this morning talking about how God had blessed him. And he was had blessed. He had a new home, and he had a new car. And I mean, just all. He had recently been given the use of a Learjet and all this kind of stuff. And all this was the blessings of God. And you know, the thing that always comes in my mind when you hear that kind of thing is, why is it that God would choose to bless one individual over another in their physical blessings? You see, when we think about the... In other words, what we're saying is, when we say that, well, God's blessing me with these physical things and other people are not, what we're basically saying is, God's already judging us and He's judged us so worthy that now we're just receiving the blessing in a physical sense. The problem with that, as I said before, is it makes God favor one over another. I was at a restaurant one night at a Bible conference, and I never will forget this, years ago. And a man was sitting there at the table. This man was a preacher. Held a job as well, and he was talking about how the Lord had blessed his business. He is driving a new Jaguar automobile, bought a new house, and he was talking about how the Lord had blessed, and just on and on about the Lord bless this, and so, and there was about six or eight people sitting around a table there. When we got up to leave, I had ridden over there with another gentleman, and as we do at those conferences, sometimes the ladies just go back and go to bed because they're never going to stay up and talk all night. But so I'd ridden over there with this other fella. But there was a couple walking to their car in front of me that I had just met that evening. And I heard the lady turn to the man and she said, "We must not be living right. We must be doing something wrong." And I said, "Wait a minute, come here. What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, I heard what..." So I won't call his name. What so-and-so said in there and talking about the blessings of God. And she said, "We can't even hardly make our car payment and our rent's 2 months behind." And she said, "We're having a hard time buying groceries." And she said, "We've just believed the word rightly divided for a short period of time. And we know we're both saved." But she said, "Why aren't we getting the blessings?" It's a legitimate question, isn't it? It's a legitimate question. You see, God is a righteous judge. And you can't judge your performance today based on what God's given you. If that's true, then We need to get out of here and go down and get in some of these churches where the blessings really fall in. You know what I'm talking about. We know one thing. God's grace is sufficient. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's given us the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And He's told us if any should not work, neither should he eat. And so we have a great blessing today. We have the blessing of the Word of God to instruct us how we are to perform and operate in this present age. But you see, the reward in the Old Testament was always based upon performance. We're not receiving physical rewards now. We're going to one day receive a spiritual reward over there on the other side. We're not promised the physical blessings of the nation Israel. We're promised the spiritual blessings. And the greatest spiritual blessing of all will come at the judgment seat of Christ, if we labor for Christ's sake. Notice what he says there again. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God. By the way, we know Paul must be talking about future events here, because Paul said there, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. If people had looked at Paul's physical standing at the end of his ministry, they would have judged him a complete, utter failure. He had not even a coat to put on. He told Timothy to bring his cloak with him, bring the parchments with him. He's sitting there in a jail, knowing that his time is coming. He's fixing to die. And, you know, the prosperity gospel was not working for the Apostle Paul. He didn't have any physical blessings to speak of. And the one time he prayed for physical relief from the thorn in the flesh, God said, I'm not going to give it to you. My grace is sufficient. All I'm saying is, when Paul says there, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, he's not talking about receiving it down here. He's talking about receiving it over there at the judgment seat of Christ. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, he says there in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The man, he says, was not important. The individual, the ministry is planting and watering. He says this: we're in this labor, not to do our own labor, but the labor of the Lord. And then he makes it very clear here that when we labor, we must do it lawfully. He says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He says, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now, how is the day going to declare it? Well, he says it's going to be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So the work is tried. It's passed through the fire. You know what happens to gold, silver, precious stones? When they go through the fire, they come out on the other side purified. You know what happens to wood, hay, and stubble when it passes through the fire? It turns to ash and there is nothing left. So the labor that we're doing for Christ's sake, it must be done lawfully. Paul said we all run in a race, but we must run that race lawfully if we're going to receive a reward. What is that lawful way of running the race? Well, I believe it centers around many things, but primarily rightly dividing the word of truth and walking according to the doctrine that is ours for this present age. Rightly dividing the word of truth, preaching the gospel of the grace of God, and doing it all for Christ's sake. Now, look over in first. Well, let me go on here in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I heard Brother Moore use an illustration years ago that's always stuck with me in relation to this, and he talked about two men who are laboring. One man is over there and he's building fine furniture out of wood. And he does it out in front of everybody. I think about going to these shows, you know, and you see these guys sitting there with their wood and they're doing their carvings and everything, and you just stand back in awe of all that they're doing and able to do. A couple of years ago, used to take a chainsaw and carve out animal stuff with that. And I was just in awe of that. And people would stand there and they would talk about the individual and what an artist he was and what a wonderful craftsman he was. And I mean, just, you know, all the glory was to him. But there's another fellow over here. He's received some instructions to go down into a mine and to mine some gold and silver and some precious stones. And every day when he comes out, he's got just a few little particles there that he's mined. But the master has told him that's what his job is, and people see him coming out of there every day and they say, well, that guy's just wasting his time. Why don't he get out here and do something that people can see and appreciate and use? And he says, because that's not what my instructions were. My instructions were to go into the mine and to mine the precious stones and the pearls and the silver and the gold. And every day he faithfully goes in that mine and takes his little hammer and chisels away and comes out with just a few particles of gold and silver and precious stones. And people mock at him and they laugh at him and they say, what you're doing is just of no value whatsoever. And he says, yes, but I'm doing it because that's what the master has instructed me to do. And so at the judgment, a man's brought up there with all of the wood that he's made and all of the glory that he's received for all that he's created in the masterpieces. And the Lord says, okay, let's try it out here. And a man says, well, you can't put my stuff in the fire there. It'll burn up. And he said, well, why were you building all that? Why were you doing it? He said, because I appreciated the acclaim of man and the applause of man. That's what I did, was to try to help people and please people. The Lord said, no, we got to put it in the fire. And he puts it in the fire. And the man begins to weep. And on the other side, there's just ashes. Nothing left. This man steps up there that people have looked down on all these years. And he has that little handful of silver and gold and precious stones. And the Lord says, let's put it through the fire. And the man says, gladly. Because he knows what that fire does to that. And when it comes out on the other side, it's pure and perfect. Because it was done according to the instructions given by the master. Every man's work shall be tried of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, well then our reward must have something to do with the willingness to stand for the truth and to stand for the Word of God that we've been given, there is a reward. Look in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it's fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is the will, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now notice, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Why? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see, the inheritance is not the reward. There is a reward of the inheritance. The inheritance is our place in the kingdom of God throughout eternity, but there is a reward associated with that. And notice in this particular context, that reward is based upon wives submitting to their husbands, husbands loving their wives, children obeying their parents, fathers provoking not their children to anger, servants obeying in all things. You see, folks, we've got some clear, direct instructions in this book. Our obedience is what will be judged, what sort it is. There is a crown. Paul wrote about that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, where we read a moment ago. There's that crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. And I want you to notice something about that crown as we finish up this morning. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. First Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ who is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You see, turn back to 2 Timothy now. It's all about our labor for the Lord. It's all about our ministry. But it's about that ministry to individuals. You see, there are people that teach that the reward is based solely upon what we believe and our acceptance of the truth. But Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To know it and not to tell it is a shame. Paul said to the Philippians and to the Thessalonians, he said, you're my joy and my crown in the day of rejoicing. Now, what people do with the truth that you convey to them is not your responsibility. You know how I know that? Because Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, only Luke is with me. When he wrote to the Philippian church, he said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul had preached to a lot of people, a lot of men, a lot of women, and the majority of them had forsaken. But regardless of that, Paul was able to say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know what? There are people today who are going through literally hell on earth as a result of what they believe. It is difficult for them. It's hard for them. There is resistance. There's discouragement. But let me say this, as the song says, it shall be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Because one day we're going to stand before the Lord, that righteous judge, and give an account for the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. We talked about the doctrine, whether it's good or bad doctrine. It's one or the other. Every man's work should be tried of what sort it is. One day, we're going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done. And our work is going to be tried, so is by fire. And let me tell you something. Everything that you've ever done for Christ's sake that benefited the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel, the grace of God, and the Word rightly divided will appear there as gold, silver, and precious stones. What you've done for the glorification of your flesh will just burn up. Paul said in relation to himself, there is a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You see, folks, I believe with all my heart that the judgment is not about bringing glorification to us. You go back there to that individual, those two individuals I was talking about, and there the master is. And the man whose work, whose all the work that he's done burns up. He has nothing to present before the master. But the man that has the gold and silver and precious stones, he's able to present that to the one that bought him, the one that loved him. And all the glory is to him. The judgment seat of Christ that we face has to do with us receiving reward. But that reward brings glorification to the one that bought us at Calvary, the one who saved us and gave himself for us. So it's important that we stand for the truth, stand upon the truth, and do not be moved. And Paul said, having done to all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Why? Because one day, like the Apostle Paul, we're going to be saying, the time of my departure is at hand. And the question I have for you this morning and for myself, we'll be able to say, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what's really important. When you get right down to it, that's all that is really important when it comes to for Christ's sake, what we're doing for Christ's sake. And so, this judgment that Paul said we must all appear before is one that will be a time of great rejoicing in that we will be there with our Savior. But it also says there will be those that will suffer loss at that judgment because that which they've done will burn. Would you stand with me for prayer?